Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today, everybody, as we continue in our series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. Just lots of great insight from Bob and Richard. I also try to drop in a comment here and there, but I hope you're enjoying and benefiting from the study, The Grace Guide to Marriage, and it's time to get underway with today's edition. So, as I say every day, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This has been an exciting study for us, and marriage is just, it's hard. It's, you know, relationships are tough, but boy, the Word of God just really has a grand design to marriage that, you know, when lived out just through faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it can become just the greatest joy in life. And it certainly has an incredible purpose for believers. It says that marriage is representative of Christ's love for his church.
Yeah.
And when Paul speaks about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, he gets down to the end and says, you know, this is a mystery is profound, but I'm referring to Christ and the church.
Yeah.
So it has a grand design. It has a grand purpose. And when we understand that, marriage really starts to take shape for us, and we really see it in a completely different light. So today we want to turn our attention to wives. The last several Fridays, we've spent a lot of time talking to husbands as far as what Ephesians 5 is encouraging husbands to do or commanding husbands to do as far as their role as a husband. And it's simply this, to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is what God is saying to you as a husband. This is your role, and you're to step into that with joy in your heart and a willingness to say, Lord, direct me, you know, work through me so that this can be carried out in this relationship. It means that you become a student of your wife. You find out everything you can about her so that you can love her as Christ love the church. And this week we want to talk to the wives, and this is one of those subjects that we men just love to talk about.
That's right.
Why? Because
because we're not talking about us.
That's right.
Talking about somebody else.
You know, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church's body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So there's that four-letter word, submit.
Yes, right.
Boy, it's become a word that's not very popular in our culture today.
Right.
It's a word that we shy away from. It's a word that we don't want any part of. I know I talk to a lot of couples, and when I show them the marriage ceremony, and we get to the part where I ask the husband, here's what the Bible says, are you in agreement with this, that you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church, and then to the woman, and a lot of times just the modern couple doesn't want that to be a part of the ceremony. They just don't want that. Now, I push and say, no, we're gonna use this because this is what the Word of God has to say.
Scriptural, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it says for wives to submit to their own husbands, this isn't a command that says, hey, you're inferior to your husband. He is the one that's in control. He's the one that's large and in charge. And you just need to obey. Just it's his way or the highway for you type of thing. That's not what this passage is referring to at all. It's referring to you submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing him to work through you in such a way that you show your husband love and respect. And that's how Paul sums this up in verse 33. He says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So any discussion about submission as far as the wife to her husband has to be under the umbrella of respect for your husband. So that's really what Paul is getting at here, is that what your husband needs more than anything in this relationship is respect. That's what us men thrive on in this world. We look for respect out there in the world. We look for respect from our peers. We look for respect just in every avenue of life. We want to know that we have some significance
sure.
in this world. And there's only one person that really matters as far as respect is concerned. If the whole world rejects us, if the whole world rejects me, and yet Gina stands beside me and says, I respect you for what you're doing, that is everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't need anything else. That is everything. And her very willingness to offer that sense of respect to me is motivation to keep fighting the battles out there. So us men, we need respect. And this is just simply a way that God has designed for this to take place within the context of marriage. And so, wives, you know, this is something where you would say to the Lord Jesus, show me some ways, creative ways, that I can show respect to my husband. And I think he'll give you those creative ways. You know, one thing, we get a lot of people asking questions, a lot of wives saying, you know, my husband just isn't as interested in the Bible as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a way that you can show some respect to him. Come to a passage that you may not understand. Just open up your Bible, read it to him, and say, hey, I don't get this. It's not making sense to me. What does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And he may not know, and he probably doesn't know the answer.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, he's going to figure it out. And if he can come to you with an answer, he's going to really feel pretty good about himself.
Absolutely.
That's a creative way yeah. to be submissive and show him respect and also get him engaged in the Word of God. So there's some very creative ways that wives can live this out as they trust the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in them to work this out in this relationship called marriage.
It is Basic Gospel, and it is the Grace Guide to Marriage with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us, friends. Glad you're tuning in, hopefully every Friday, to hear these sessions. And, you know, our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every means possible. And Richard, I want to get you to give our listeners your perspective on why it's important for Basic Gospel to do that, to be on the air.
Well, you get a chance to listen to the kind of stuff we're talking about every day. Everything we do is couched in the terms of by grace through faith. It's all focused on Jesus. It's not focused on you and me. We're not telling you how good we are and how bad you are. We're not telling you that we need a new airplane or a new boat or a new anything. We talk about Jesus, and we apply Jesus to everyday life because he's the only thing that can be applied to everyday life.
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
else is just noise.
Yeah.
And so If you're giving to us or considering supporting us, know that this message is going to be consistently delivered every day that we're on the air. Every letter that we write, every article, every book, every CD that we create is going to be focused on Jesus because we know that Jesus changes lives.
Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. And friends, we hope that you'd like to be a part of sharing the blessing of being a part of that. So please join us. You can donate at basicgospel.net. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Or you can donate online if you're in Canada at basicgospel.net/Canada. And all other countries, PayPal is a great way to support Basic Gospel. And remember, your gifts do make a difference. Well, it is the Grace Guide to Marriage today, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, you know, Paul really spells it out as far as husbands are concerned. Love your wives. Why? Because they need that love and security within the context of the marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands. Why? Because they need respect in the context of the marriage. And so we trust the Lord individually, and trust his life in us to be able to carry out what God has commanded each of us to do. So here's what that means. As far as husbands are concerned, it is not your job to demand respect from your wife. It is not your job to help her become submissive to you. That's not your job. Yeah. So if you have taken that on as your job, let go of it right now. I mean, right this moment, immediately.
Your life depends on it.
because God did not tell you to do that.
Correct.
God simply says for you to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Now, wives, the same message goes to you. It's not your job. God has not mandated you to inspect your husband and to make sure that he is loving you as Christ loved the church. That's not your job. So if you're putting your hand to the plow, so to speak, to take on that task, stop it.
Stop it.
Let it go. That's not what God has called you to do. So a couple of days ago, someone wrote in and was asking, you know, my husband isn't loving me as I think he should, and so what should I do? Well, what should you do? The answer is simply here, respect your husband in all things. That's what the Word of God, that's what God himself, that's what Jesus is going to be saying to you. So if Jesus was right in front of you, what should I do? Trust me, and then allow me to work through you so that you can show respect to your husband. That's what I want you to do within the context of this marriage. And trust me to work with your husband, to work in your husband. And that really gets us back to Christ in you, the hope of glory, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah,
That is the most significant truth that helps as far as marriage is concerned.
Yeah, it is. And if you will permit me a little bit of technicality here, I'm going to show you why. There are three verbs, it looks like, in this passage. The first one's up in verse 18. It says, be filled with the Spirit. The third one is down in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Well, the third one, in most translations, in fact, every one I've looked at, says, wives, submit to your husbands. That is not a command. In fact, the word submit doesn't occur in the Greek there. What this is an explanation of what it means to be filled by the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, wives to your husbands as to the Lord. Okay? That's a description of being filled with the Spirit. It's not an equivalent verb to be filled with the Spirit and love your wife, agapao, the agape love. And for us to do that is what causes all this confusion. If we would just say, Lord, as a wife, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to know what it means in the context of my marriage to be filled with the Spirit so that I can do exactly what Bob's been describing in terms of respecting my husband, loving him, showing him how much he means to me. There's nothing here that even begins to suggest that wives submitting to their husbands is equivalent to being filled with the Spirit. It's not equivalent. It's the result of being filled with the Spirit. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Great yes, point. Indeed. That is an excellent point there, Richard. So, and again, you know, we have to understand what marriage is, you know, and when we go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see that God at that very first wedding, he's officiating and he's laying out what marriage is supposed to look like for everyone else. A husband, a man is to leave their father and mother. He is to cleave or hold fast to his wife. And that means not to separate, not to let go. So divorce is not an option. And certainly today, divorce is an option.
Yeah, it seems like the first option.
Yeah, most people go to the altar thinking, hey, we're going to commit and enter into this covenant and say it's forever until death do us part. But in the back of the mind, it's like, well, if it doesn't work out, we can just say goodbye and go find someone else. Mm-hmm. And so we have to realize that's not part of the original language. And so if we're going to hold to the grand design as God laid it out, then divorce shouldn't be a part of the vocabulary.
Right.
We shouldn't be jesting about leaving one another or those sort of things. We should just realize that, hey, we're in this for life, that we really have entered into a covenant one with another. So we cleave to one another. We hold fast to one another, and we don't let go. And then we become one flesh. And that's the grand design of marriage. And so we have to realize that. And then when we get to Ephesians 5, we have a retelling of that grand design.
Yes.
In light of this new covenant mm-hmm. that we live in light of the gospel message, in light of Christ and his church. And so we have to realize that this is something between this man and this woman. This is something that they have the opportunity, the privilege to live out through dependence upon Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't want to look at it as a corporation where the husband is the CEO
yeah.
and the wife is kind of the president or the manager. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not how God designed it.
No.
It said the two become one flesh. And so we have to see it in that light. I think many men take this idea that they're the head, that gives them ultimate authority. That I'm going to rule, and boy, I may consider, you know, what my wife has to say. I'll take that into consideration, but then I'm going to make the decision. And when I make the decision, that decision stands. And by golly, she better get in line with it, or else. And usually, the else is the husband going to sleep out on the couch,
yeah. or the doghouse.
That's right.
Or saying, "Okay, the next time I make a decision,
it'll
stand."
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So we can't look at marriage in those terms. And
no. Sadly,
so many people do that. They just look at marriage as a corporation with a CEO and, you know, kind of a manager. And that's not how God designed it. And that really takes the relationship, the romance, all of the great things about marriage mm-hmm. just totally out of the equation.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel of the Grace Guide to Marriage, a series that is absolutely jam-packed with rich insight on a subject that far too many couples struggle with, unfortunately, and that's the reason we've prepared it for you and presented each on each of these Friday sessions. If you'd like to review the previous sessions, you will find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching, and we hope that you'll tell others about this excellent series so that they also can hear the Grace Guide to Marriage. You'll find it again at basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel on our regular Friday teaching edition. Once again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's what I want to do today as we close the broadcast in the last couple of minutes. A couple of days ago, we had this question about marriage, and just as I'm answering that, an idea came to mind. And so I threw that idea out there. And it's something that I think is really meaningful. And it's simply this, husband, you know, just sit down and write out 5 things that you really appreciate about your wife. And then share those 5 things with her. Wife, sit down and write 5 things that you appreciate about your husband and share those with him. And I guarantee you, it is going to do something that you just never imagined. It will stir feelings in you, emotions in you, a sense of appreciation in you, like you probably haven't felt in a long time in your marriage. Now, I know this to be true because when I suggested this idea on Tuesday's broadcast, about 10 minutes after the broadcast, I get a text from Gina, my wife, with 6 things that she had listed out on why she appreciates me.
You're an overachiever there.
Man, yeah. that just tore me up inside.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just emotional reading her words and just the things that she said. It was just powerful,
yeah.
Just a powerful, powerful text to get. And so, and then we got home and we talked about it in person, and that even just amplified those emotions. I mean, I really got teary-eyed reading what she
yeah.
what she wrote. And so I want to just share that again
yeah.
and say if you've kind of been Well, it doesn't matter how your marriage is going, whether it's just on cloud nine or you're just kind of enduring or it's okay. It doesn't matter. Just take the time and write down several things that you appreciate about your spouse, share it with them, and leave the results of that in God's hands. You're going to be surprised.
Yeah. Notice there is no other shoe to drop here. This is just positive.
Yes.
This is the kind of stuff God does for us,
right,
in the spirit.
Right.
He doesn't come to me and say, well, I like this and this and this, but you know, yesterday. He doesn't do that because there's no condemnation. This is just the positive affirmation of one spirit-led heart to another.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And we can't overemphasize that this is all a reflection of Christ and his church, how Christ works in and through his church. And as he does, there's an appreciation that grows within us back toward him.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's some certain similarities between Christ and the church and a husband and a wife, and there's some dissimilarities,
yeah.
A lot of differences. I mean, Jesus is perfect. Husbands and wives don't act perfect all the time. They're perfect in Christ,
yeah.
Because he's made us that way, but we don't act perfect all the time. A lot of times in marriage we see our selfish desires emerge, and we have to learn to, through the Spirit, express the fruit of self-control, and it takes some time. So there's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences here for sure. We also have to recognize that Jesus Christ is King. In a husband and wife relationship, you know, one's not the king and one's not the subject. We're both brothers and sisters in Christ. We have equal footing as far as our relationship with the Lord is concerned.
Yeah.
And so we have to recognize those sort of things. But we have this wonderful opportunity to trust the Lord to work in us to enable us to serve one another in love. Husbands serve their wives by loving them, mm-hmm. making them feel secure, giving them that solid ground underneath them as far as their relationship is concerned. Wives serve their husbands by showing them respect in all things. And that is a unique privilege and opportunity that we have as children of God, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. This kind of thing, done this kind of way, revolutionizes marriage.
Yes.
And we shouldn't be surprised that Satan attacks marriage in 100,000 different ways, because he understands that if the unity that is possible in marriage were allowed to be seen in the world, nobody would believe him anymore.
Right.
Because they would all be following Jesus. This is our privilege as a married couple to walk by grace through faith and express this kind of love and the grace, very grace of God himself to each other and to the whole world. There's nothing better.
So let's just summarize today's program with verse 33 of Ephesians 5. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. This is the word to the husband. And then let the wife see that she respects her husband in all things.
Well, friends, we're glad you joined us today for the Grace Guide to Marriage. And if you have a question today or over the weekend, drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net or leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Either way, we'll be glad to answer your question here at Basic Gospel. It's just what we do. And please remember also that we need your help to keep this new covenant message on the air and to spread this good news of the love, grace, and life to our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, or of him, to new listeners everywhere. Again, the number is 844-322-2742, or you can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And outside the U.S. and Canada, you can donate through PayPal. Anyway, it's a great way to join us and partner with us here at Basic Gospel. We hope you want to share the blessing as well. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.